Hey, everybody. This episode's a lot different. I pretty much abandoned my weekly format. I wanted to address something that someone asked me through DM. And it took a pretty good chunk of time, which is I'm totally fine with. But I want to just say before launching into this, if you know you're not at a good place in your own mental health and that you need some sort of help, I'm going to put in the description some resources such as a suicide crisis hotline, a national one. This episode, I think it's worth listening to. I feel like I handle this stuff respectfully. But I also know that not everyone might be at a good place or a place where they can handle hearing these things. So if you know that's you, like, please don't listen to it and seek some help. I just want to put it out there just for my own, just to feel better, I guess. But otherwise, you know, enjoy listening. I don't know if I'll be doing this something like this again. I don't know. We'll see. Once again, Benjo Beats. That was Daybeers. Today's a little bit different. Oh, so the intro, I said this might be the last time that I marry the psychology and art lives. I've done a pretty good job, and I've attempted to keep these pretty separate. On the podcast, it comes up, you know, little by little, you know, here and there. But I've tried to keep these two lives very, very separate for a multitude of reasons. So yeah, I'm going to go into some psychology stuff today because it has a lot to do with what we do creatively, and I think it'll be of value to the listeners here, to you guys. But I don't know if I'll do it again. I'm willing to, just as it comes up. I don't want to force it though, you know what I mean? So this will be different, and I have no idea how long this is going to take. I have my outline here, which is pretty long, and I really want to get to this topic. So I'm going to focus on that, and then we'll see. I don't want this episode to run too long. So I don't know. Well, I don't know what's going to happen. You already see how long it is in your player, but I don't know. So we'll find out. If you want to support the J Primecast, besides doing an iTunes rating, which is free and easy, another free and easy way is to screenshot your phone right now and post it to your Instagram stories. You could also share an idea or a quote from this or from an interview that I've done. Share it with your social media followers. Bring them some value by sharing a quote. Not necessarily mine, but, you know, people I interview that have great things to say. I think today actually will be a good one. I think there's some interesting stuff today that might be quote-worthy, honestly. So that way you bring your followers some value immediately with something that maybe was a new idea for you or help put words to an idea that you just didn't have words for quite yet. And it also helps me, obviously, because it will help spread the word about the cast. So free and easy ways. The podcast is growing little by little. I mean, it is still growing. And it's really on the back of you guys helping spread the word. I'm doing a better job of that. But you guys, listeners, are key to getting new ears, really, to the podcast. All right, so let's talk about this. This is something that was asked of me. I've been putting out these Instagram stories that say, you know, ask me a question, give me something that I can use for my podcast or IGTV, or just answering my stories. Stories are a really good way to connect with people that are actually interested in you, by the way, because so many people can follow you that are just hitting the button and moving on, or follow you and unfollow you, or are like a brand that are following you, trying to get you to recognize them. But the people who go into your stories are the ones who are actually interested in you personally and your artwork. So don't underestimate the Instagram stories. There's a little tip for you right there. So someone asked me to comment, I don't know the exact question, I'm not going to look for it, but on depression, art, and perfectionism. That was kind of the trio there. I think they go easily. Depression and perfectionism, I think really go hand in hand. So before we get rolling here, I'm going to tap into some of my therapy knowledge. In no way is this prescription or advice. Like, you know, I'm talking from the viewpoint of a therapist. But you know, it's like, I don't know, this isn't like advice on how you should live your life or if you should seek therapy or not or what kind of therapy or nothing like I have to put that out there. This isn't more than what I'm saying it is. That's it. That's it, all right. So the first thing that you need to understand is that art is the expression of ourselves. It's more than that, but I think fundamentally it's the creative expression of who we are, of ourselves. And I think we can do that in other ways besides art, like Gary Vee. He is his business. He is an entrepreneur. He is a highly competitive person that has to create businesses. That's him. That is him. And without that, he wouldn't be himself, right? But we see him and his personality and his all that stuff through his business. Hopefully that makes sense. So we can express ourselves, I think, other ways besides art, but you and I have chosen. Actually, I wouldn't say chosen. Like I have to do it through art. If I'm not drawing, I don't know how else I'd express myself. I guess through the podcast, but I mean, drawing, you know, visual presentation of my creativity or of who I am is really central. Like I have to do it, and if I didn't, I wouldn't feel right. I think I'd be miserable. I posted this week. Someone asked me when I chose to be an artist or something like that, or to take it seriously. And I said, it's not a choice. It's something inside of me that I have to obey. I'm not choosing to do it. It's just like, I have to, it's within me. And this is what I have to do. Anyhow, a little bit off track there. So art is the expression of ourselves in my, and that's, I think it's really it. You can't help but express yourself when you're creating. Like it comes from you, it doesn't come from anyone else. So fundamentally, it is you. Even if you're telling stories and whatnot, and I'll give a couple examples. Even if you're telling stories or your intent is to entertain, it goes through the filter of you. You know what I mean? So it is you. It's, or at least a piece of you, whether you know it or not. And no matter what or how, and I'll differentiate between the two of those. No matter what you create or how you create it, you will be showing a piece of yourself. And I think most of the time it's going to be unconscious or subconscious. So no matter what you create or no matter how you create it, you'll be showing a piece of yourself, all right? And I'll get to the depression and perfectionism and how they connect to art, but there's just some fundamental things we have to understand first. I think this is my opinion, but I don't know. Tell me if you disagree. Please feel free to DM me or whatever, or email justinprime@yahoo.com. So, you will be showing a piece of yourself no matter what or how you create. So, this gives the viewer or reader or whatever a window into the creator. Not only through their content, but through their process. So, for people get a window into me, let's use Sculder stories as an example. Through the content, like the people will know that obviously I like, you know, ninjas and technology and sci-fi, and I like, you know, big epic stories. So they learn a little bit about me. That's like that surface level kind of stuff, but that's different than the way I create it. So if someone were to watch me creating Sculder stories, they would see me having fun. They might see me also being pretty anxious. They might see me overthinking. They might see me over, what do you call it? Fine-tuning. I'm not saying that's what I did, but this is just examples, you know? So the process of it, the way I do it, and the thing that I present, these both show who I am. And these both are windows into who I am, all right? Makes sense so far. Hopefully it does. This is so true. I mean, with Brendan, hopefully you don't mind me using this as an example. We've talked about this though. and I wasn't doing therapy, but watching Brendan draw gave me a big, big, it really showed me how much anxiety he had to draw in front of me without him saying it. I could tell. His insecurity, I could tell. Not just in his indecisiveness, but in the way he kept adding lines, like little lines here and there, you know? And I could tell, like, he just keeps going. This is just for him now. It's no longer for the audience. It's the process. What he gave to me, and I could, if I had just seen the sheet without seeing the process, I would have seen way too many lines and someone that was just trying to mask the insecurity of what they were going to give to me, right? But seeing the process and seeing him do that, go through that, I guess it just solidified. So I would have been able to tell from either looking at it or from seeing the process of it. And I think a little bit with Jack right now, there's a little bit of that as well, if not a lot of it. And that's something that I'm actually really challenging him to get through. So I'll leave it at that. So the process and then the result show us who you are, a piece of who you are, at least, all right? Which, if you think about it, like, that's probably why it's so hard to show your work. And this might not be true for all of us, but at some point, like, think about the first time you posted your artwork to Instagram. For me, it was nerve-wracking. It was very scary. Because I'm putting myself out there. Not just my artwork, but myself, me. And I'm sure that makes sense to you. And that I still feel that way when I do something new. When I feel like I'm doing something out of my own comfort zone, something that's new, and I put it out there, there's still that sense of I'm putting myself out there and I'm feeling a little bit vulnerable. I think for the most part, I've gotten over that. But, you know, think about yourself. You know, where are you at with that? Because you're not just showing something you created and saying, here, world. You're saying, like, this is me. This is a part of me. That's why it's so hard to show that, is because you're vulnerable. You're leaving yourself open. And you're letting people know who you are, in my opinion. Showing the process, in my opinion, again, I think showing the result is nerve-wracking, or can be, but showing the process, I think, is usually more difficult. I think it's more personal. I think it's more raw, because you're not just saying, hey, here's this thing I created, but you're inviting people, like, you know, watch me do this. Not in like a cocky, like, egotistical way, but showing the process, or letting, you know, drawing in front of people at a convention. You know what I mean? It's a very personal. And even if you're not aware of it, I mean, just the way you feel, like the insecurity or the, you know, the doubt, it's a very personal thing, because you're not just drawing, you're showing people who you are. You know, they will see you every time you erase. They will see you, they won't, but in our heads, you know, they'll see us doubt. They'll see us be insecure. So that's why it's not only hard to show your work. You know, some of you might post on Instagram and show your work, but how many of you have shown the process or shown the mistakes? Especially mistakes, I think it's hard for people to do that, because it's you, right? So I think showing the process is more difficult than the content, the end result. It is more personal. And if you disagree, I'm happy to hear from you. But think of, you know, think about it this way. If you had a great picture or drawing, and everyone ended up loving it, would you have been okay with them watching you create it? And for me, I feel I'm okay with that now. Let's say you have the best drawing you've ever done, would you feel comfortable showing it? And the answer might be a clear yes, but then you have to ask yourself, would you be okay with people watching you do it? And I think that's a little bit more vulnerable. I think that might be not as clear of a yes. And if it is now, cool. Did you used to feel that way? Or was that something that you had to not get over, but grow? Did you have something you had to build confidence in? So the content themes, what you create does show something about you. I used Skulder Stories. That was a very, very superficial example. I like ninjas and stories and blah, 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 right? So a little bit deeper into me, and doing your own self-therapy, I don't think is a real thing. So this is a level I'm able to see within myself that I express, and I don't know if I can get any deeper than this, but for me, there's a theme that I've noticed keeps popping up in the way that I write characters. So let's for Peter Parker Venom. That's my new one, Peter Parker Venom, the little fan art or fan fiction. And basically, God, I'm doing fan fiction. He's basically autistic. He's got mild to moderate autism, which is a detachment, a social detachment from other people, not understanding social cues. It's just basically a detachment. Masako was a victim of horrible trauma and was extremely detached from everybody around her. Nyx is angry, which led him to be very detached from everybody except his dad, who ended up getting killed. And then Astro Pig also has that kind of like mild autism, Asperger. It's a diagnosis that's not around anymore, but obviously you guys probably have no idea what that is, but it's basically a very, very mild autism. But it's another social detachment kind of thing. So with all of the autism kind of spectrum stuff, there's usually, or I'm in no way am I an autism expert, but I believe there's always an obsession with like a certain thing, like, I don't know, trains, railroads, engineering, wiring, stuff like that. With social detachment and I'm not going to go too deep into that, but those are some fundamental things, is that people with autism, I believe, tend to overly focus or obsess about a certain thing, and don't have normal social cues or understand social cues or really engage socially with others very effectively, just to put it in very general. So that's something that I notice I keep writing, and that's something, you know, you can see that my body of work so far and look at the content I've provided, and there's a theme. And that absolutely has something to do with me. I'm totally writing myself. I don't believe I have autism. Actually, I know I don't. I don't have autism. I used to think I had like a very mild version of Asperger. Not Asperger, but Asperger with a P. That was an old diagnosis. Not really around anymore. It's folded into autism spectrum disorder. But, you know, I have some pretty good amount of social awkwardness. I do feel like this detachment and really almost complete disinterest in other people, which is weird because as a therapist, I'm not like that at all. I'm extremely interested, very, very focused. But the fact that I do have that sort of social detachment allows me to hear what people are saying without getting wrapped up in it emotionally. And that's something I hear from therapists, is that they get wrapped up in things. And they don't know where the healthy boundary is. And they will bring people's problems home with them. I don't have that issue. I'm very clear about my role and what I'm providing. I'm extremely empathetic. I can feel what people are talking about very accurately. And I'm able to give them words that they don't have. But it's weird because I'm that fine-tuned. But really it has a lot to do with me being detached and not so wrapped up in what's going on inside of me and losing focus of the person that's in front of me. So anyhow, so with these characters, I'm showing you, not on purpose, but I'm showing you a big part of me, which is that social detachment and disinterest. For Nyx, it's an anger thing. For me, it's not really anger. For Astro Pig, he's just not interested in people too much. He likes to categorize and name things, and I'm absolutely like that. I like to organize things mentally. For Peter Parker Venom, he's more on the autism. He's got a more autism going on. That's not me, but it's the same kind of flavor. That theme keeps popping up, and you know, I'm not doing that on purpose. It's just I'm telling you something about myself. So, you know, and oh, the other thing is the trauma. Trauma is something that has popped up a couple of times in what I'm writing, and I'm sure will continue to. I've survived my entire life without going through any trauma, like actual trauma. Like, I'm lucky that way. And my goal as a parent is to make sure my kids don't get traumatized. But you know, I was very loving family. Luckily, you know, sexual abuse from the Catholic Church that I was a part of. Sorry if you're Catholic, but that's the reality of it. And I went to an all boys high school, and there were I know there were some priests there, at least one, that were sent there from another place to be put in hiding. Basically, I'll leave it at that. But luckily, I went through all 12 years of before college without getting molested. Just man. I don't mean to laugh, because I'm sure there's someone listening to that can't say that, but it's just ridiculous to think of that. That I'm lucky to not be molested by adults is just crazy. Because it's so rampant. I mean, it's unbelievable. So, anyhow, sorry, way off track. Luckily, I had no traumas that I endured. The worst I got from my parents was spanked, and it eventually didn't hurt anymore, and it was... ineffective punishment for me. And from that point on, I was an absolute nightmare for my parents. So, but, you know, my clients in therapy tell me horrible traumas. And I don't take them home with me. They're not on, on my mind. I leave them in session, but that stuff has to affect me. It's within me somehow. So that might be coming through, not the specific stories. I would never take someone's story and put it into one of my fictional stories. I would never take a real story. But I think the experience of trauma is something that I hear about pretty frequently, actually, a lot. And I can tap into those feelings and just that ability within me to empathize with my clients and to feel what they're feeling. Not exactly, of course, because I'm not them. But on some level, to feel what they're feeling, even a little bit, and to put that into my character. So that's something, it comes through. Like, when you read these stories, I'm telling you a little bit of myself. You know, I'm not Misako. I haven't been through Misako's life. But the sexual abuse history that she went through, the physical abuse, that's stuff that I've helped people with in therapy. So that's the content. That's just the content of what I give you, right? Or what we give to our readers or viewers or whatever. We're giving them content, and it absolutely has to do with us. Even if you're doing like Marvel fan art or DC fan art for some reason, if you're doing that. Sorry. Besides Batman, I guess, Superman, Wonder Woman. Yeah, besides those, whatever. Let me focus here. Even if you're doing fan art, I think the way you present it shows you. Actually, a great example is sketch art of Sanchez. That guy, like, he's crazy. He's got a big personality, tons of energy. You know, it's like when you see his artwork, you get, that's him. You get him, right? So even though he's doing a bunch of fan art, what you see, the way he draws it, the high energy level, the crazy eyes. Actually, they're really big eyes with tiny pupils. For some reason, it fits. It's like, it's super high energy, and that's him. That's exactly him. And he's always making these crazy faces when he posts, selfie stuff or whatever. So, like, that's a great example. Even if you're doing fan art, like, you're still showing yourself. I think if you're truly creating, and it comes from a very creative, purely, like, kind of creative place, more or less, it's going to be more and more and more you. I think some people are... Actually, I'll scratch all that. I'll touch on that later on. Remove that from your brain, all right? But yeah, sketch art of Sanchez is a perfect example of... Even doing fan art is like, you come through. Okay? But let's go back to the process real quick. The process is... It's, again, like, you can't hide from it. The process is intrinsic. It is who you are. The way you draw is very representative of who you are. I know sketch art of Sanchez is like working fast. He seems like he works very fast. Luke, he works very, very fast, very intense, and that's, you know, I've talked to him. You get that kind of that vibe from him. You know, it comes through. I don't think Luke has battled skeletons. That's not. I'm not saying that like the content he creates is him, but in that way, in a very literal way. But the content he creates, that super intense, high energy thing. I think he's a pretty intense dude. So it's like he comes through. You see who he is. You know what I mean? And if you don't hear on the podcast, I think more in the Discord group, that intensity level definitely comes through. I think more in the Discord group. So you can't hide from it. Who you are will come through in your content. And I think when we see you draw, I think it'll come through as well. For me, I used to do a ton of refining. I've gotten good enough or efficient enough, I'll say efficient enough, to where I don't need to do as much. But I think that over-refinement almost was really just, I was masking this insecurity in myself. And it's still there. Like there's still things where I don't feel super secure about and it slows me down. Like this week I've been stuck on a panel. I'm very insecure about how to pull it off. I don't know how to draw a wolf eating a salamander, an old lady salamander, and I've attempted it, and the fact that I'm slowing down, I think shows that's the process. I'm slowing down. I do a little bit, I poke at it, I come back out, I do something else, then I'll come back in. Like the fact that I'm doing like tiny bits at a time, and kind of basically like I'm putting my feet in the cold water a little bit, you know, a little at a time. That's all insecurity. It's like fear, like the cold water is going to hurt me or something. But it's, you know, like the panel's not going to hurt me. But I think there is some insecurity that's coming through the process of like just do a little bit at a time. What helped was letting go of that and really giving myself a time limit. And I've talked about the 30 minute limit in the past. But that really helped me to grow. Not just like grow artistically, I mean like grow in confidence, to know that I can actually complete a decent sketch in 30 minutes. That helped me grow in my confidence level as a human being, as a person. Especially, that was like one thing, right? But then, like that was during the lunchtime request period, that really helped me grow. But then to do that in front of somebody else helped me grow even further. Because it was, I asked someone to watch me draw. Someone watched my process. So I grew even more. Like it added to it. My confidence level grew. So for me, it was over refinement. Some people do a lot of scribbles. Jack, possibly. I'm not reading to Jack. I'm not his therapist. But there might be some insecurity there, Jack, that you're trying to mask over. So that's why I'm really, if you listen to episode 2 or watched episode 2 with him, I really want him to break that process. I see like the process, right? I can tell the process he's going through, and I'm just trying to help him break that process, because like that process stuff, like if we're not conscious of it, I think we just get sucked into it, and we're not growing. We're just doing more of the same. But we have to like challenge ourselves to do something different. Anyhow, let me get back on track here. If you're not fit, so let's take this another direction. Even if you're not finishing something, so the example I used was over refinement and then doing too many scribbles, or even like the hairy look, that hairy sketch look, that's insecurity. That's like you're not confident in your lines, so you're doing all the lines, or you're making it hairy, like little brush strokes at a time or pencil flicks at a time, rather than like, you know, bold, using your shoulder to draw kind of stuff. If you're just using your wrist, that's to me, that's like an insecurity thing. So let's take it a different direction. How about not finishing something? That tells us something about you too. And I'm not, that could mean a whole bunch of things. So I'm not going to tell you exactly what it means. But to me, if you don't think your art is worthwhile to finish, that tells me you don't feel like you are worthwhile. That's what it means to me. If you're not finishing your idea, your creation, like just that means like you don't feel like you're good enough. If your art's not good enough, then like neither are you, right? I think there's some objective level. Like I don't feel like my kids' book writing, I don't think that's at a level to where it's going to be published. That's, to me, that's an objective thing. I'm not there yet, and I haven't done the work to get there yet. But I think artistically, I'm good enough to draw a kids' book or even a comic book. You know what I mean? So I think there is an objective standard there. Like, you know, I haven't put the work in, or like I'm really not good enough yet. Like, but I'm getting better, kind of thing. You know. But I know that there's some people listening who are just not finishing, or they finish it and they don't show it. That's not about the art necessarily. It's probably about you. And hopefully I'm not sounding like a jerk there. We've all been there, though. We've all been there. Showing my first piece of art on Instagram was terrifying. Showing it to... I'm still... Actually, I don't share my artwork with family at all. I don't know. It freaks me out. Like, seriously. The only people I show my artwork to is on social media. It's crazy. Or my brother. Brothers. Maybe my dad. Yeah, I don't know. Pretty select few. And that tells you something about me. Like, it's a very personal thing, and I don't want anyone and everyone to see it. And I do it under a different name, and I show it on social media to strangers. Like, that should tell you something about me, right? But, you know, not finishing your art, that should say something. And that, to me, that could be, could not that it is, but it could be that if you're not finishing your art, like, that says something about you. Like, maybe you don't think you're worthwhile enough, or you're not good enough. You might have been taught early on that you're not worthwhile. I don't know. That's just ideas I'm throwing out there. I don't know you. I don't know who the heck is listening to this. So, whatever. It's just ideas. But it says something. That's the point. It says something about it, us. And this is going to tie into perfectionism. I think that we tell ourselves things like, it's not good enough. But that's just like a mental excuse. Let me backtrack here. So perfectionism is an unreachable standard. It's not real. There's no such thing as a perfect anything, I don't think. So thinking that something has to be perfect or good enough, I'll say perfect. Thinking that it's not good, they kind of go hand in hand. Thinking that something's not good enough is basically saying it's not perfect to me. So that thought, it guarantees failure, because it's not possible to have something that's perfect. And even if your skills are tremendous and you still are telling yourself it's not good enough, like, you're just setting yourself up for failure, I think. Let's just focus on the perfectionism. We'll use that word. If you think you're a perfectionist and you're not doing good enough to reach that perfect standard, like, all it is is an unreachable, unattainable standard, and it's a guarantee that you're failing. This is not a real thing. It exists only in your mind. Perfection is not real. It doesn't exist, I don't think. I can't think of what would be perfect. It just doesn't exist. It only exists in your mind. It's only a thought. It's just a thought. So if that thought is in your head, then unfortunately, art then can be a great way to remind yourself that you're a loser. I don't think you're a loser. I'm not saying that. But I think you think you're a loser. I think that you think you're good for nothing, and that you can't achieve anything, and that you suck. And that when things aren't good enough, or they're not perfect, you're just reminding yourself that you're a loser, you're good for nothing, you can't achieve anything, or that you suck. That's not what I think of you, I guarantee it, but that might be what people you care about have thought about you, that might be what you think about yourself, I don't know, I'm just throwing it out there. But again, these are just thoughts. They're thoughts. Not good enough. It's not perfect. These are just thoughts. I think there is an objective thing. Like, my writing for Astropig, I don't think is good enough for publication standards. I did not meet my aim. Actually, I think my goal was just lofty, but it was what I needed in the moment. But I think there's an objective thing here. If your art is not good enough for Marvel Comics, like, I don't think mine is. I can't draw buildings. I don't want to. I can't draw cars. I don't like drawing weapons. Like, I'm not Marvel comic quality standard. I can't. I'm not there. I'm not good enough for Marvel by that standard. Marvel doesn't want perfection. They want, I don't know, whatever it is that they do, but I know I'm not there. Okay, I could be, but I'm not. I'm just not there. I'm not willing to work for it either right now. So I think there is an objective understanding of where you're at and if you're good enough for it, for someone else's standard, you know what I mean? And that's just something you have to do the best you can to gauge, I think. But when you're just not showing something because it's not good enough, that's not about the piece of art. I think it's more about you, again. And all you're doing is reminding yourself, you're like, you're just setting yourself up for failure. And you're just repeating whatever mindset or whatever life script that you have in your head, okay? So for me, my life script has been a fear of doing something bigger than me. My life script has been to go to college and get a career and have a family and buy a house. And, you know, I've done that. Or I'm doing that. So things like, you know, honestly, like the AstroPig thing where my goal was to get published and do something bigger than myself, and have AstroPig toys and all that stuff. Me not meeting that goal is just reminding myself to stick to my life script. Honestly, like that's all it is. So, yeah, I don't know if I can take that any further than that. Just objectively, you know, talking to myself basically. But I think that's an example, honestly, now that I'm thinking about it. I gave myself a standard that I'm just not mentally equipped to reach. I'm just not there yet. That was like a guaranteed, I got something out of it. I don't want to call it a failure, but just for this purpose, I will. I gave myself an unattainable standard or goal and reminded myself to just stay in my lane, basically, really. And that's what happened, right? Yeah, and honestly, you know, I after admitting that to myself back then, it did leave kind of a bad taste in my mouth. That I didn't follow through. I guess I'm realizing something right here. So yeah, there might have been more to that. Interesting. I'll leave that as it is right now. So, man, like, our mindset is so important. You know, these thoughts of like, I'm not good enough or it's not good enough. These aren't your thoughts. I can have the same thoughts. Jack can, Luke can, Humberto Ramos, like all of us can have these thoughts. So you don't own these thoughts. These are just things. These are words that go through your mind, or words that other people have said to you that you've bought into. But they're words, and they represent a feeling inside of you. The feeling is what's important. The thought of it's not good enough is not important. But what's important is that you feel like it's not good enough, that you feel that way about yourself. And I'm talking about depression in particular here. That's what's important. The thoughts, it's interesting that the feeling comes first. The thought of it's not good enough, that's just the brain's way of explaining. What the brain does, what I've learned recently, is it places meaning onto experience. So, you know, someone along the line taught you, or experience, or a number of experiences may have taught you that you're not good enough. Or you suck, or you're not lovable. I don't know what it is. Or, you know, the opposite, that you're tremendous, that you're valuable, that you're a great person, I don't know, whatever. So these things were taught to you, and you believe them, you feel them, because as kids, that's what we do. And even as adults, I think. But then your brain places meaning onto those experiences. So, like, you know, if your parents abandoned you when you were younger, it's not because you're bad. It's really because they are. But if your parents abandon you, like, you don't know why. You like, or maybe you do, I don't know. But your brain will place a meaning onto that experience. So the meaning that your brain will make up is, I'm not good enough, or I'm not lovable. If something horrible happened to you, like your parents abused you, your brain will place meaning onto that. It will place value onto that, because it has to make a meaning from experience. And I don't know, whatever that is what it is. We're getting pretty deep here. Where was I? So we got. I mean, it's important. I don't know. I got way off track here. Hopefully, you guys are okay hearing this. I'm worried that someone will be listening to this and be like, "Oh shit, that's me," and maybe wasn't ready to hear that or any of this. I don't know, but it comes through in art. I guess that's the point. So perfectionism is just an unreachable standard. You're just setting yourself up for failure. You're just setting yourself up to remind yourself that you can't. And that might have been what I did with Astropig, is I set myself up for something I could not achieve. No, actually, I can, but I'm not willing to put the work in. So that's another issue, I guess. So our mindset's really important. You think about your own life. What role, what mindset do you have? What meaning have you placed onto your life experiences? For me, not pushing myself to grow. Here we go. Not pushing myself to grow, not pushing myself to learn how to do the publication steps before I did the book. I could have, I still would have done the books. It was fun. But not pushing myself to learn how to write a kid's book or learn about it. It guaranteed that I didn't try anything new and that I stayed in my lane in my life script. Okay. So, and same thing with you. If you're listening to this and you don't finish artwork, you're just guaranteeing a way to stay in your lane and remind yourself of whatever your life script is. I don't want to assume, but I've given a bunch of examples already. For good or bad, you're reminding yourself, So, but it sucks because that's the hard part of it. But art is a really great way to work through your feelings and thoughts. It's so good. But this requires a lot of trust in yourself and in the process of art, in the process to grow. It's you really have to be okay enough to say, like, I can do this, and I trust in the process to grow. And that means you have to be okay with your art the way it is right now, which is to say, you have to be okay with yourself right now. And I won't say that you are done growing. That's not the point. When I say that you be okay with you, I mean accept yourself for where you are right now. Accept yourself for who you are and why you are, and the meaning that you've placed on your life in your head. It's there for a reason. Doesn't mean it's true, but that's the best you could come up with, good or bad. And you have to accept that for now. And then allow yourself to come through in your artwork. Accept that for now. I don't think sharing it is as important right now. That's kind of raw. But just creating and accepting it, and then moving on to the next one, creating it and accepting it. And what you're doing is accepting yourself over and over and over again, and giving yourself some love and encouragement and positivity, really. So that's the first part. But then I do think when we sh eventually, when you're ready, when you show your art to other people, again, you're showing yourself to other people on a level that we can't talk about. This can be extremely vulnerable, like I said. That's why criticism, I mean, when you get critiqued on your artwork, it is painful. It's not just like, okay, I'll take that feedback and grow from it. It's pain the excuse me. It's a painful process. Even me, I notice within myself I get defensive. That's why I found when I ask for a critique, I need to shut up, because I'll get defensive, or I'll start explaining things or rationalizing, and that's totally what I do day to day, is I rationalize stuff all the time. But when you get critiqued, like you're really, it feels like you're being criticized for who you are as a person. Am I right or wrong? So that's that, right? Putting yourself out there, putting your artwork out there, can be a really good growth experience. You don't ask for feedback. You can turn, like, if you want to share it on social media, turn off comments. Just put it out there and, like, sit with it. Let yourself feel anxious and insecure or whatever it is. It'll get better over time. Just sit with it and be okay with it. It's not easy, I know, but It'll get better. It will get better. It'll go away. Just like any pain, it goes away. And let yourself know, like, it's okay to feel that way. It's totally fine. It's normal. It is absolutely okay to feel insecure and anxious when you show your artwork. Like, be okay with that. But so you can also grow through this art process. That's really what I want to bring home. By being aware of that process and purposely switching it. All right. So like with Jack, I am trying to shut down his impulse to just scribble. I'm calling it. With Brendan, he had this impulse to do, he's still doing it. All these damn lines and little ticky-tack lines and all this other stuff. He's gotten a lot better though. But seeing him and then shutting it down, and then also for Brendan was speeding him up, watching him draw. He was just, it would take him forever. So shut that down, speed him up. That was a big goal of mine. So you have to like be aware of your process as you're drawing, as you're arting. Be aware of it. Notice like how fast you're moving. What part of your arm are you drawing from? Just be aware. Gain some awareness of what you're doing. And then, you know, do that for like a week. Draw every day. Do that for a week. I'm just going to put that out there. I don't know. I have a good time. And then do something different. Like purposely do something different. And through that, because whatever you're doing naturally, it's just an extension of the meaning you've placed on yourself. If your natural way of arting is to not complete things, that's just an extension of the meaning you've placed on yourself or that other people have taught you. So shut that down. Stop not finishing things and have a goal of like, I'm going to draw for 30 minutes and no matter what comes out, it is done. I will be done. You know what I mean? No matter what it looks like after 30 minutes, it's a complete piece. And give yourself that new process, that new experience. The experience of finishing something, of doing it for 30 minutes or 10 minutes or 15, I don't care. But the point is to finish. If you don't finish, make it your goal to finish something, all right? If you do finish something, but it takes you like 3 hours because you're scribbling and refining or whatever, again, do a time. I think the time limit is so beneficial. The time limit's great, the 30-minute time limit, because it forces you to shut off your thoughts and to just create. And it's just, I think it's a really good way to get out of your the meaning, the life script that you have for yourself, the meaning you've placed on yourself. I think it's a great way to get out of that. So switch it up. And then that's how I did it, and that's how I'm doing it, and I'm gaining confidence. I'm literally, as I'm drawing, I'm literally growing as a confident person, not just an artist, but I feel so much better about myself. Especially, I think, since beginning the podcast, the past 6 months, I feel like I've grown as a human being, as a person, in my confidence level, a lot. Art is just the conduit for that, but I feel like I'm growing as a human being, as a person. Just notice your process. Switch it up, do something different, really do the opposite. So this is actually how art therapy kind of works, but it's with another person. Not all of this, that's not what I'm saying. I've done a little bit of art therapy with kids, not too in-depth, not too extensive, but I've done enough. You don't have to have a high level of self-awareness in art therapy at all. You just have to be willing to open up to sharing yourself with a therapist through your art. Like if you can't name things, this is better for kids in my opinion. I don't know how common it is for adults to do this, but for kids who don't have the words to describe what they've been through or what they're going through, art is a great way to do that. Like there's a kid that I'm meeting with right now, and he, I want to be careful with what I say, he doesn't feel attached, or he doesn't feel, he feels like his family's kind of split up, right? But he hasn't told me that at all in words. But in his drawing, he did. He drew himself in a house and his sibling in the same house, but in between them was a wall. And he said his mom is asleep in on the couch in another room. She wasn't even on the paper. And that his dad was away at work. So just from the content he gave me, I could tell he does not feel connected to his family. That was pretty obvious. And the way he drew it was very fast. He just did. I mean, there was, he just like, he wanted to get it out of him. He seemed very uncomfortable doing it. So that kind of told me something too. So, but the point is, you just have to be in the moment, be genuine and draw, and just be genuine about it. Rather than directly telling the therapist about yourself, you can do it through your art. And again, this is really ideal for kids. Therapists should not be interpreting the art, only recognizing and accepting it. And this is exactly what I told you to do to yourself, was to draw, recognize your process, and accept where you're at. It's the same process, but by yourself. So an art therapist, from what I understand, should not be interpreting the art. We should not be placing meaning onto it. I could have seen that drawing and thought, actually, I could have thought a whole bunch. If I, you know, one therapist could look at that and say this kid is trapped in a room and he can't get out. Another therapist could look at that and say this kid feels disconnected from his family. Another therapist could look at that and say there's two kids in a house where the parents are being neglected and abandoned. I better call Child Protective Services. So interpreting is off limits. We're not supposed to do that, really, from what I understand. You only look at the process of the drawing. That's what I've been taught, is look at the process of how a kid draws or whoever. And then the content is important, but what we should be doing is asking the kid about it. And I think actually asking is not the best way, but more of like commenting on it. When a child does a drawing of a lizard, the therapist should only be commenting on maybe the size of the lizard, the placement on the paper, the colors, and possibly the actions of the lizard, all the process stuff, and what we actually see as therapists, right, on the paper. But not guessing why the client drew the lizard or what it means to them. That's not up to us. That's up to them. And they will tell us that through the process, but also through the content. But like, you know, drawing a lizard doesn't mean that you were like molested by a lizard, right? It doesn't mean that you were abused or that a lizard has any meaning to someone's life whatsoever. So I shouldn't place meaning onto that. Instead, I should be commenting on, hey, you used red to draw a lizard. And the kid might say, yeah, I don't know, red's my favorite color. I don't know. Or that lizard's like super tiny way down here in the bottom right hand of the corner. And the kid could say, yeah, the lizard feels really alone and isolated and like no one loves him. But the kid's putting the meaning, he's giving the words, but we have to first accept it the way it is. So I know this is like way, way, way in depth. I'm going to wrap it up here. It's been about an hour. That took up the whole time, and I'm okay with that. This is different. Hopefully you guys are okay with that. I'm not going to go into my personal artist inventory challenge. Things have been going okay. I'm not going to do the rest of the podcast. I'm going to leave it the way it is. This is super heavy. Dang, this is different, huh, guys? If you made it all the way through, I'm really curious. Actually, I'll tell you right now, I feel super anxious about publishing this. This is different for me. I'm really exposing myself. That didn't sound right. I'm really showing you a different side of myself with the therapy stuff, with the psychology stuff. I feel like I took some risks. I'm kind of worried about how people are interpreting this. And again, this is like, I'm anxious about this. And rather than accepting my anxiousness, I have these thoughts. I'm placing meaning onto my anxiety. So I'm anxious about publishing this. And the thoughts I'm having are, I'm overstepping my bounds, or someone heard this and is going to go like kill themselves. God damn. If you had a hard time hearing this, like contact me and I'll point you in the right direction to get some help. All right. But I know I'm just anxious about this. And now these thoughts are popping up in my head to place some meaning onto that, but it's not necessarily grounded in reality. Let me know what you thought about this for real, like justinprime@yahoo.com or DM me on Instagram and people in Discord. I'm happy to hear what you think. This is super heavy. Dang, let me know. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. Bye.